Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We're going to play a game to give away not one, but 2 prizes. We have a pair of tickets to HF Festival at Nationals Park. That's Saturday, September 21st. We also have a pair of tickets to Limp Bizkit at Jiffy Lube Live. That is this Sunday. And we're going to play a very simple game. It's called Which Song Is Better, Bish Bucks Edition. Right. I'm going to give you 2 songs.
It's my choice.
Whichever one you think Bish Bucks likes better, just say the name of that song and you'll win a prize. If you guess incorrectly, you lose. You get nothing.
And how many prizes do we have?
We have 2.
We have 2. All right.
2 total
real
prizes.
Quick,
yes.
This is a logistical thing.
Okay. Yes.
The list of songs that are given to me, there's 5 of them.
Yes.
Shouldn't there be 6 if it's either or?
6 if it's either or? No. Because we're just picking the winner. We're just gonna, no matter what, we're just gonna play
the one
whatever
I choose.
The winning song was that he has chosen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's not an either or.
Okay. Gotcha.
So, all right. Let's go to our first contestant.
All right, let's go to Mike in Alexandria. Mike.
Hey, what's up, Junkies? How
Hello,
you doing?
Hello, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hope
how
you're
are
doing
you?
Well. All right, if you guess correctly here, you're going to win tickets to HF Festival. Which song is better, according to Bish Bucks? Ziploc Bag by Lit or Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage?
Only happy when it rains.
You win. It's that easy. Now, I would have picked Ziploc Bag. That song's
classic.
No,
this intro is money.
You're a winner, sir. You get 2 tickets to HF Festival on Saturday, September 21st at Nationals Park featuring the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush, Garbage, who you're listening to right now, Jimmy Eat World, Girl Talk, Violent Femmes, and more. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events and you'll hear this song.
You know, I'm a Shirley Manson guy.
I know you're a Shirley Manson mark.
And I love that guitar to open up the song.
I'm well aware.
It's just my choice, so he's a winner.
He wins. 1-for-1 so far.
All right.
Whoever's up next is playing for tickets to go see Limp Bizkit at Jiffy Lube Live this weekend, this Sunday.
Let's go to Kenny in Woodbridge. Hey, Kenny, what's up, bud?
Happy Friday, fellas.
Yeah, happy Friday,
happy
man.
Happy Friday, buddy.
All right, which song is better, according to Bish Bucks? Is it The Middle by Jimmy Eat World or Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter?
Ooh. I think Filter's probably a little too heavy for him. I'm going to go Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah, for sure.
2-for-2.
For sure.
You win, sir. You're going to be busy this weekend.
I was kind of on the fence on this one because I like both songs, but this is slightly better in my opinion.
You have won 2 tickets to Loserville 2024 featuring Limp Bizkit, Bones, Nate No Face, Corey Feldman, and Riff Raff this Sunday at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. The tickets are courtesy of Live Nation.
Are Jimmy Eat World's original members or whatever while they were having their hits? Are they set for life?
Are they set for life?
Oh, I gotta think
from so. Their this particular album, it wasn't just this song, right? Didn't they have several on this album?
Sweetness, oh, yeah. The Middle.
Set for life, right?
They had Pain. Wasn't Pain on that album? Or maybe
I don't
not.
Know if they're set for life.
How many followers do they have like on Spotify?
I'm gonna go on their Spotify. I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you.
See if they're getting a Spotify income. Hey, they can still. They can still tour.
But they are still touring, obviously. I mean,
good on the listeners, by the way. They went 2-for-2. Do you want to play the remaining 3 to see which one Bish Bucks picks, EB?
I think I could pick them every time.
All right.
If I know the song.
All right. Does Bish Bucks like Everything Zen by Bush? or Blister in the Sun by the Violent Femmes? Which song does he like better?
I know he's
song is better?
I know he's a Bush guy, and he's also a Violent Femmes. I know he likes both.
I do?
I think so.
All right.
Look at me. Look at me, Reggie.
I'm going to say Bush.
Play it, Valdez. He picked Bush.
Yeah.
I actually can't stand the Violent Femmes.
Is that true?
I'm not a Violent
Femmes
guy.
You're not a Blister in the Sun.
Can't stand the, what?
I'm not a Violent Femmes guy.
How dare you, first of all. By the way, the Femmes are making a 20-year between HF Festival appearance. They were on the main stage in 04. They're on the main stage in 2024.
Is that the Perry, Linda Perry? Is that her? What am I thinking of?
I'm not sure what you're thinking
of. Four Non-Blondes, that's what I'm thinking of.
Different band. It's all good. It's all good.
One-hit wonder, Four Non-Blondes.
All right, does Bishbucks like Drive by Incubus or Cath by Death Cab for Cutie? Which song does he like better?
Well, I don't we've talked about Death Cab for Cutie. Yeah. I don't know that band. I know Jason does, though. Mm-hmm. What was the other one you said? The first
Drive by Incubus.
I don't think he's a huge Incubus guy. I'm going to say Death Cab for Cutie.
Play it, Valdez.
Is wrong?
He's an Incubus guy.
Wow.
I do like Death Cab, but I just like this one slightly better.
Song's so good. It's so good to see them live in just a couple months. All right, the final one, I think this is a layup. Tonic, If You Could Only See, or Postal Service, Such Great Heights.
I don't know Postal Service, so I'm going to say Tonic.
Cue it up, DJ Valdez. Tonic it is.
All right, good.
Tonic also on the bill for HF Festival 2024.
Jimmy Eat World has 12 million monthly listeners on Spotify. That's got to be enough to make you...
I don't know if that's good or... is that a huge number? I don't know.
It's a pretty good number.
Sounds like a big number.
I mean, 12 million monthly?
Sounds like a lot. And they're still touring, obviously. They're still a working band.
The Middle has 971 million downloads. Almost a billion.
It's a great song.
If your song has a billion downloads, you should be set for life.
Probably right.
And a billion streams.
They seem like smart dudes. Like, they've probably licensed it out. They've probably sold it to companies to use for commercials.
Right.
And at some point, these bands, they're going to sell their whole catalogs to whatever music company is going to buy them.
Well, if somebody's interested
in the real money, that's where the big money comes in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, they're not going to get like Bruce Springsteen or Madonna or U2 like windfalls.
All right, here, who's bigger?
All right.
The Spin Doctors or Jimmy Eat World?
I think Jimmy.
Spin Doctors? I mean...
Spin Doctors were big, but for a shorter time, I thought.
Yeah.
Two Princes and Little Miss Can't Be Wrong were gigantic songs.
Yeah, they were.
Like,
I think in their heyday,
didn't have the longevity,
I liked the Spin Doctors more in their heyday than I did Jimmy. And I like Jimmy Eat World.
Didn't the Spin Doctors lead singer lose his voice?
He lost it, but I think it came back.
Oh, it did come back?
Spin Doctors, I want to say, were big, like when we were in college. Definitely when we were in college.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like early 90s, Spin Doctors were big.
Right. Jason, here's a question for you. This is from Josh Buck.
Five more bucks in his pocket.
Did you get five?
-3. Jeez. And I don't know if I agree with this, but this is Josh's opinion in the form of a question. I don't know if I agree with this. Does Lurch know that he would make a ton of money if he became a Commanders fan? More appearances, more brand deals, etc. I don't know that that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Really, we're not.
I mean, have you made more money just because you're a Commanders fan than the rest of us?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we don't really. The Commanders don't pay us to do anything. It's not like we.
I wouldn't make any extra money.
Let's pump the brakes. If the Commanders would like to start paying us to do some things.
Sure.
We are ready to listen. We're all about listening to
offers. I guess you could say that when we did pregame shows, they paid us.
Yeah, that was years ago.
Well, JP and Cakes did it more recently than you and I.
True.
I quit. And my kids.
We used to do those at the stadium, at FedEx Field.
A long time ago.
Official pregame show.
The official pregame show. From the concourse.
You would go into the bathroom and you'd hear us doing the pregame show.
From the concourse, yeah. But no, I'm not going to make more money if I become a. I might make more money if the Commanders are better.
That is true.
That is true.
Well, I'm kind of rooting for that. Yes. But if I was an actual fan, that's not going to make it.
That's where, and we've said this a million times, Donald. People say, oh, the Junks love to hate. No, we don't want to hate on the, we want them to win. Because when they win, you're more interested. And when you're more interested, we get more people to tune in and we get bigger ratings bonuses.
We're going to say this one more time.
That's how it works.
If you think that we actively root against the Commanders to lose, you are some of the dumbest people on the face of the earth.
Right.
If you think that that's a real
now,
thing.
All we want to do is this.
Win, win, win.
Correct.
I will say this.
DJ Khaled.
Last year, since we knew that they were going to suck.
Yeah.
You we're kind of rooting for them to lose because they have the higher draft pick, which creates more interest.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
But now that they have a new coaching staff, new rookie quarterback, no, we want them to win.
Right.
No, we want all the locals to win.
Yeah, it could only help us.
That's only great. Nobody wants to come in here and poop on the locals. Although I do hate Ron. Sorry.
Well,
I do hate Bieniemy. But I love the team. I just hated those idiots. I mean, it is what it is. I still get like the diehard HTTC guys attacking me if I say anything bad about like Ron or EB.
Hold on. They still have affinity for one or
people
both of those
still
people?
They're like, oh, you know, yeah, they just, I guess they just feel a loyalty.
Why
there
would
are
they
some
care?
People, there's something in their DNA where you can't say, I would actually say borderline Valdez might have this in his DNA. Like, I can't say anything negative about anything Ravens related or he's going to just be livid. Could I criticize?
I think he's rational enough to discern some
can
of
I
the
criticize
noise?
A previous Ravens coach like
Brian Billick?
Ted Marchabrota.
That's a good one. No. Who was the OC a couple years ago?
Greg Roman.
Yeah. You didn't like Greg Roman though, right? Weren't you? Maybe I'm being unfair.
I thought it was they've evolved past Greg. Greg was kind of dead weight.
Anyway, the point is, if I make fun of an ex-Skins coach, even some of those HTC guys or whatever, they still get bitter.
I can,
what do you care? He's gone.
Maybe I can see it for Ron because he was here for 4 years and he tried to turn things around, but he couldn't.
He was a nice guy, yeah, but blah, blah, blah. But
why would they? Why would they have any affinity whatsoever
I know
for
they just,
Eric
they just defend him.
He was here for one season.
You just can't criticize anything. They defend him. He sucked. Eric Bieniemy was maybe the worst offensive coordinator in the history of offensive coordinating. I mean, he was brutal.
You guys suck.
He sucked. We were sold a bill of goods on him. And Ron turned over the whole organization to him.
He did.
He ran the whole show.
He bought into
last
the hype
year.
Too.
Yeah. I think he was just up
Speaking
against
of
the wall.
Enemy,
he punted
but remember
last year.
How excited you were before they started playing?
Oh yeah.
You were pumped.
We thought Bieniemy was going to like revolutionize
because
the offense.
Loved Hal. You obviously loved McLaurin. You loved the fact that they had this new hot coordinator.
No. I was definitely pro Hal, but I got more pro Hal as the season progressed.
I know. I'm just saying you were
cautiously optimistic. And then I really liked what I saw. And then he smashed into the wall and they just ruined it.
Now, to defend Hal or to defend EB a little bit, Bieniemy.
There's no defense.
He had a terrible roster.
The roster was not great.
Could have gotten more out of it.
Could have gotten more out of it.
That was Ron's fault.
And 99% of it was his fault, but he had a terrible offensive roster.
I'm gonna
the offensive line was terrible. Inexperienced quarterback.
I can't give
running
him
game one grade.
I can't give him any grace.
I'm weirdly fascinated now to follow Deshaun Foster and Eric Bieniemy this fall.
Yeah,
I want to see what happens there.
To see how Ethan Garbers does.
It sure sounds like Bieniemy's going to run all over Deshaun.
I mean, he might,
right? Well, personality wise,
I know this. You better not wear your hat backwards around practice, or Eric Bieniemy, you'll be in the doghouse.
It doesn't
sit well.
You know, can you imagine being a college kid playing for Bieniemy? He's going to be on your ass.
Yeah,
he's on the pro guys' asses.
Yeah,
you know.
Remember Randy Etzel at Maryland wouldn't allow his players to wear do-rags.
Oh, he wouldn't.
Nope.
I forgot about that.
I had a soft spot for Randy. I just did because I
he
we
was
got
very
to know
nice
him.
To us.
He was so nice to
he
us.
He was nice
have
to
him
us
on.
When we had interaction with him.
He liked so us. Nice.
So I did have a soft spot. It doesn't mean he wasn't terrible.
Randy Etzel's my Ron Rivera.
He is. Yeah. You hate him so much. Yeah. He was so nice. Then he went back to UConn. Couldn't
he was
recreate
dreadfully
it.
Dreadfully bad.
And it was worse there.
He was worse
at UConn than he was
hideous.
Yeah, hideous.
Oh,
yeah. He literally destroyed his legacy. Because he had a great run at UConn.
Yep.
Well, before he came here, he was good. Yeah. That's why Maryland hired him.
Yes.
He went to the Fiesta Bowl.
Right. I mean, I think he's laughing all the way to the bank, and he's playing golf.
I'm sure.
But, oof.
In his second go around at UConn, he went 3-9, 1-11, 2-10.
Yeah.
And then 0-2.
He wasn't able to. He wasn't able to make it happen.
Yeah, so he won five games. He was six games.
He was butt nice to us, though. Drive us around in his golf cart. Got to go and sit in his office, put my feet up on his desk.
He wrote me a note that said, I'm going to use one of your plays in one of our games. I think he actually probably did. That's why it was so bad. I'm kidding. He definitely didn't use one of my eight flag football failing plays. It's impossible that he did that. When we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk Olympics.
Olympics
ceremony is tonight.
All right.
We want you to call in at 800-636-1067. What are your favorite Olympics memories?
Ooh.
What jumps out at you?
I got a couple.
Fave Olympics memories. We'll go down memory lane next about the Olympics here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Taking your calls in the MGM National Harbor listener lines as the Olympics are underway in Paris. We're actually watching sevens rugby right now. Is it Argentina and France? I'm not sure who the teams are. I can't make it out.
Oh, it's Fiji again.
It's Fiji, okay.
And Ireland.
So we're actively consuming some Olympics product.
Argentina, France.
My eyes are... France,
you saw the F.
No, to be fair, earlier it was France and Argentina were playing.
Okay.
Or at least it was a highlight.
Okay. I got you.
I know what Argentina looks like. They're always wearing like powder blue and white. I know that those
look
aren't.
At that.
I don't even know what they're doing.
They push
this
guy.
Throwing up. The guy in the air. I've never seen it before.
That's what they do. And then what if he... drops behind him and lands on his freaking head. I'll guarantee that's happened before.
Yeah,
break his neck.
It's going to freaking hurt.
Sure it happens. But you know what?
Those guys are psycho.
Guys are tough.
They're guys got no front tooth.
They're cut from a different cloth than the guy sitting in this room.
Right.
But we're taking your calls on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. As the Olympics are fully underway, opening ceremonies tonight from Paris. What are your favorite Olympic moments from the past? What's like burned into
your
brain?
Right away, it's Miracle on Ice.
Miracle on Ice has got to be up
there.
Oh,
I thought we were just talking about summer. Okay.
It can be either.
No, all time.
Oh. Yeah.
Miracle on Ice. If you mention Olympics and like favorite
that's
memory,
gotta
that's got to
be number one.
That's got to be number one for our generation.
I also go back to Mary Lou Retton when she pulled perfect 10.
84.
On the floor and the vault.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
perfect 10s.
Carrie Strug when she couldn't
she
go.
She banged up her ankle.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Dream Team, just because we had never seen NBA players on the men's Olympic hoops team. It was always college players.
Usain Bolt. What did he run? Did he run a 9.53 or something? Didn't he run something crazy?
Yes.
Something bizarre. I feel like he ran like a 9.5 something.
I think you're right.
Don't know.
Because Justin Gatlin broke it, and he ran like a 9.4.
He did?
Didn't Gatlin break Usain?
No. Usain Bolt has the world record 100 meters. I think it's 9.58.
9.58.
I don't think that was done at the Olympics. I think it was done in China.
But
I thought Gatlin broke that.
I don't think so.
No.
I think Bolt's still the big silly.
So Bolt has the world record still in the 100.
Gatlin might have broken it where it's wind-aided.
All right, maybe
it
was unofficial or something.
Yeah,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
May have been juice-aided, too.
Well, of course.
Those guys are so thick.
But the 84 Olympics in L.A. the summer, the 4x100, because I love the 4x100.
All right.
I love the 100 and I love the 4x1. But when they, because Carl, I believe that was Carl Lewis's first Olympics.
All right.
I don't know how old he was at the time. Let's call it 22 or something.
Uh-huh.
But they were so effing good. And they blew, and the other teams had some really fast, I think Ben Johnson was in that.
Probably.
The Brits always had fast teams, but the Americans with Carl Lewis. I remember Calvin Smith was on that. Remember that name, Calvin Smith?
I don't.
Was Willie Gault on that 4x100?
I don't know. I don't have a fascination with the 4x100 like you clearly
do. Oh, you don't like
do.
The 4x1? Oh,
I mean,
I love
it's fine.
I like the 100 meters more than
I like the 100 too, but the 4x is just...
And I'm a sucker for the long jump. I think a long jump is silly.
Yeah, I think the 4x1 just pummeled the long jump.
All right, you want to bang out some of these? let's go to Wayne in Gaithersburg. We're trying to get into the Olympic spirit here, Cakes.
That is correct.
Big time Olympics here for the next couple weeks. Let's go to Wayne, Gaithersburg. Wayne, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Happy Friday.
Same.
Yep. Hey, man. So I got two. Obviously, I was thinking both winter and summer. But winter, I mean, how can we forget TJ Oshie's 5 shootout goal performance against Russia?
Yeah, I do remember that. Awesome. That was like when it kind of... I first kind of figured out who this TJ Oshie guy was.
He was still with the Blues.
Yeah. That's correct.
And then, of course, I think I'm just going to go ahead and end this whole segment, but how can you forget Vince Carter's dunk over that 7'2" dude from France?
Was
in
it
the
Frederick
Sydney game?
Weiss? Right. Wasn't that who he dunked?
You know, I need to see it because I don't remember it.
I do remember it now. I wasn't thinking of it, but I do remember it now that you bring it up.
I've got to
YouTube that again.
Yeah, it's like insane, but yeah, like that was like when he was going off, he did the whole elbow and the hoop and the dunk game and between the legs, like that was like his, like, you know, player level 99th time in life.
Right. All right.
He basically disrespected Frederick Weiss and put his Bozak right in his face. Is what he did. He had to leap right over his head in order to get to the rim.
NBC Sports has it as the greatest dunk of all time on YouTube.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Let me see. I just got to watch it again.
Watching it right now.
It's pretty disrespectful, too.
Speaking of Olympic basketball,
yeah,
you should find this documentary. I don't know. I thought I saw it on HBO Max, or it might have been ESPN.
Uh-huh.
About the 1972 Olympic basketball in Germany.
Okay.
The gold medal match between USA and Russia. When USA had won the game, and then the refs basically cheated.
They cheated. They jobbed us. Huge job.
Huge jobbing. And then they basically let Russia have another play. They ended up scoring and losing by one after they already called the game and winning by one.
Right.
And the USA has never accepted the silver medal after that.
That was like in the 70s, right?
72.
Yeah.
Nor should they accept it. I mean, if you get robbed of a gold medal,
Doug Collins was on that team.
You should throw that silver medal right into the river. This is where that belongs. Right. When you know
it's
you
awesome,
won the gold.
Awesome documentary on it.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Okay. We can check that out. 800-636-1067. What are the Olympic memories that are seared into your brain?
All right, let's go. Nick Alexandria. Hey, Nick. What's up, bud?
Hey, fellas. I'll preface this by saying it's pretty obscure, but it's got a cool local connection to it. So you guys are about my age. Do you remember in the early 90s, leading up to the 92 games, Reebok had that commercial series with Dan and Dave,
sure,
the American decathletes?
Yep. It was
Dan
huge.
O'Brien and Dave Johnson, I think. Wasn't that his name?
Okay.
Well,
sounds right.
Yeah. One of the two of them actually didn't make the team. Something happened during the Olympic trials.
I think Dan O'Brien choked. Something happened and he choked. Yeah.
Yeah. So that let local Fairfax Robinson High School George Mason athlete Rob Musio make the Olympic team, and he ended up getting like 5th in the decathlon that year.
All right,
uh-huh. He was two-time NCAA decathlon champion at George Mason. So he made the team because Dan or Dave didn't, and then he got 5th. So it's kind of obscure, but it's a
didn't
cool
we also have that Alan Webb dude? Wasn't he a George Mason kid? He was a long distance
runner.
Yeah. I think he was from South Lakes.
Yeah,
he had like crazy, like low mile times. I'll have to look it up. He might have held the world record for a time.
Might have. Maybe he had a U.S. record. Maybe he had a U.S. record.
He held some sort of record that was absurd.
Yeah. I'm sure Farley knows. Farley's probably BFFs with the guy.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Let's go.
What year was it when Phelps broke the record?
Number of golds.
Yeah, he had 8 golds, right? Didn't he have 8?
Was that like 06 or
08 maybe?
No, by the way, Beijing Olympics.
This is absurd.
08, yeah.
Alan Webb
held
the American national record in the mile.
Right.
From July 2007 to September 2023. His time, 3 minutes, 46.91 seconds.
Mm.
Wrap your head around that.
That's
what kind of sprint is that? That is insane. And somebody broke it last year.
Yeah, now somebody else holds it.
I didn't.
He held that for 16 years.
Did I know that people were under sub 4 minutes? I didn't even know that was a thing.
I mean, that is absurd. Yeah. You are freaking flying.
I guess because they would say they break the 4 minute mile or whatever. God, that's freaking crazy.
you know who slept on? Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
I sleep on him a little bit.
People sleep on him.
A lot of snoozing.
Captivated the world in 96 with the gold shoes and the 200 and 400 breaking the world record, smashing those fools.
I thought Dry was going to say Greg Louganis.
That's his favorite.
Is that your favorite?
No, that's
his favorite Olympian.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson, top three, probably favorite athlete of mine, though.
He is?
Top three?
Come on. It holds a special place in my heart. When I hear that NBC music, I think of Michael Johnson.
Really?
Yeah. And the gold shoes and the flag over his shoulders. Mm. I get butt size.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, you don't like speed? You don't like speed?
I do, but like
I do. That's why I love the 4x1 skirt.
Pole vault is intriguing. To me, pole vault's more intriguing than any running event. Just
pole
the fact that they're
is
able
intriguing.
To make it work.
That's the craziest thing you've ever said. Pole vault more entertaining than the 100 meters.
It's more intriguing and impressive physical feat to me.
He doesn't name one pole vaulter.
Sergey Bubka.
That's the only one he knows.
It's the only one I got.
Current
can't give you.
He
one.
Doesn't know. Yeah.
Doesn't he's just saying it's intriguing. He's not saying the most entertaining. It's just saying it's intriguing.
It's harder to pole vault effectively than it is to be a great runner.
Hey,
in my opinion,
is handball is handball still a Summer Olympic sport?
I think so. Yes.
Handball is kind of silly to watch.
I sleep on that too.
You got to watch it. It's actually it's awesome.
Okay, I'll give it a run. Tell me when it's on. I'll give it a run.
I feel like we played handball in gym.
I think we did play handball at some point.
I feel like I was probably great at it.
Well, you also played dodgeball, which is I'm sure
I was legit outlawed, great at
outlawed by now.
Yeah.
No more dodgeball allowed. Too many concussions.
Hey, speaking of ham, do you have like a sport that you kind of get psyched to watch maybe every Olympic? That's not on the radar.
Well, yeah, that's what like I say. Like for, honestly,
besides like track and field.
Well, I love the
swimming.
Long jump and the triple jump.
I never watch swimming unless it's the Olympics.
Right. Yeah, and ski jumping. For winter, ski jumping is
a long jump. Ski jump's amazing.
Yeah, the ski jump is incredible.
Where they get off the ramp and they're just getting so much air.
And they're just flying.
Yeah.
They're just flying. They're literally flying. I used to fantasize about that.
Which is weird because you're afraid of heights.
Yeah, well,
you would
never
in a million years do it.
No, but I would love that feeling of flying, though. I have dreams often, I don't know what this means, where I can just get up and start flying. Like just like money, just like right with my sweats on or whatever.
Are you flapping your arms or are you just?
No, I just touched by God and I just can just start flying with the birds.
Mm, you can
and people, they're in awe of me.
You know what other Olympic moment was silly? When that donk came out with the flaming arrow and shot into the cauldron in Barcelona.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
That was the end of the ceremony. Shot it above all the people in the stands into the top of the stadium.
Yeah.
Lit the whole thing up. Mm. Olympics officially started.
Oh, that was fake. They shot the arrow past it, and then they lit the flame up.
He got worked.
He got worked.
That's what idiots say. That's what idiots say. Zapruder film has proven it right.
No, you could see the arrow fly past the cauldron, and they just literally turned it on.
That's been debunked.
Like a gas fireplace.
It's been debunked.
Right. They had a Weber up there. They just hit that igniter.
Yeah. They had a Duraflame. No, they turned it on like a grill. They hit a switch.
I'm telling you, it's what
you could
happened.
See the arrow go past the cauldron, and they just lit it up.
It was a flicker. It was a flicker of different flames.
And then they had some Spanish dude with a fire extinguisher to put it out after it landed.
100%. Right.
I mean, come on, Drab.
All right. We'll continue to take your calls on the Olympics. Opening ceremony is tonight. If you want to weigh in on your favorite Olympic moments, you can do that at 800-636-1067. We're the Junks. We'll be right back. You can go vote on the Junkies poll of the day presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Go to @JunksRadio on Twitter. Were you rooting for or against the no-hitter thrown against the Nats at Nationals Park yesterday? That's your poll of the day. You can go vote right now.
I think once you get to like the eighth inning or ninth inning, it looks like it's inevitable you're going to lose.
Mm.
You want to be there for greatness. You're not rooting for it in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
It'll be right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Mackenzie Gore pitches tonight in St. Louis, mm-hmm. because his last four starts,
Haven't been great?
Not great. Now, he's missing the strike zone. We kind of talked to Riz about it on Wednesday. He's walking a lot of guys, and then, you know, his velocity's fine, but he's not hitting
the strike zone. He alleged his velocity's fine. I thought I had seen something where the velocity was down.
But maybe it's down a tick.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's down a tick just because, you know, we're almost August, but he has not pitched well. He was he was really good in May.
Mm-hmm. He was good when I went there in June when they played the Mets.
First half of June, good. Then he struggled. And then July's been awful. So let's see how he pitches tonight.
This portion of the Junk's brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
All right. You want to bang on some more of these still?
Let's do.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Charles. He's been on hold for 15 minutes. Charles, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Junks. I'm an old guy. My favorite memory goes back to 1968 when Bob Beamon broke the long jump record by, I don't know, it was like a foot or something. But, you know, it came out a number of years after he did that he whistled just a few minutes before the event.
Is that true?
That is true.
Wow, that would kind of drain you,
really?
Wouldn't it?
That is seems
that kind
weird.
Of goes against the theory.
I'm going to guess that's not on his Wikipedia page.
That you're supposed to hurt your legs when you do something like that.
No. That's all a myth. That's a myth.
So he was so pumped up that he had to knock one out before he did.
Exactly.
Where are you getting this intel?
I learned that years ago on the Dr. Gabe Merkin radio show.
Gabe Merkin.
You are old. I can confirm that.
I am an old. I've been listening to you guys since the very start when you played the music in the background.
We do appreciate that.
Well, yeah. Charles, how old are you? You got a young sounding voice, I'd say.
Well, I'm almost 68.
Wow.
Man, he does
Doesn't
sound
he have
spry.
A young sounding voice?
Yeah, he sounds spry.
He's got vim and vigor, EB.
You still. Hey, you still
hey, guys, you know what that's from?
What?
Whistling.
It's keeping him young. Do you have a significant other, Charles?
Sure, of course.
A wife? Is that what it is?
I've got a wife and two kids.
And you and your wife still enjoy a little quality time together?
Oh, absolutely, of course.
So look at that, Lurch. 68, still getting her done.
I can't relate.
You got to do a little whistling too, guys.
Listen.
Sounds like you're doing more than a little.
We had a urologist in here about 15 years ago, and she said, use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Right.
Words to live by.
Right. Exactly. That's what I tell my wife all the time. I'm going to use it or I'm going to lose it.
Horny Charles call again.
Right. All right. Thank you, Charles.
All right. You guys take care. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Dude, doesn't he sound young?
He does.
He sounds like he's 40.
Sounds very alert for 68.
That's because he's whistling all the time.
Right. He's probably seen every video ever made.
He's reached the bottom of the internet. Yeah.
Right. Like page 578.
Yep. Let's go to Rick. Man, his voice is really throwing me, man.
Yeah, I don't know who Gabe Merkin is. I mean,
I definitely used to listen
to Gabe
Merkin.
I've heard the name,
Merkin.
But I don't know anything
an
about that person.
In Kensington.
He did? It's local? I have no idea.
Yes.
I don't know who this person is.
He was like an old guy. He would do like medical stuff. You'd have a medical question on the radio.
Okay.
Pretty sure he had an office in Kensington. Hey, what's up, buddy? Rick.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Rick, what's up?
Hey, as a swimmer, I always love watching the swimming. And my favorite memory was when Jason Lezak came from behind in that 4x100 in 2008.
No, and
Alain Bernard from France in like the last 5 meters.
When he touched the wall like a microsecond before.
It's the most famous Phelps moment, pretty much. When Phelps is on the platform, cheering him on.
Yeah. I forgot his name was Lezak, but I remember that.
And he also won the butterfly by a hundredth of a second.
I remember. He just touched the wall like a...
Didn't that relay give Phelps the record for number of golds?
Pretty sure.
So that relay was for the record.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, exactly right. And they said he couldn't catch him, and he did. So that was
I don't have any recall of that.
Watch the video. It'll
jog my memory.
Phelps is flexing when they win. It's a signature moment.
Okay. If you say so, I'm forced to believe you.
Let's go to Mark in D.C. I'm not going to shame you, Cakes, for not knowing. Mark, what's up?
Hey, fellas, I got 10 I could pull off my head, but just two of them. That 4x4 at the Coliseum in 84 was unbelievable. Another one.
Hold on. Who was on the 4x4 team? Was Carl Lewis on that team?
Otto Boulder. No. The other guy he mentioned earlier. It was just the names don't hit me, but the race itself, it was absolutely pretty and thrilling. Also, the 76 boxing team. My God. And you can't forget the Jamaican bobsled team.
Mark, who was on the 76 boxing team? Oh, shoot. He hung up. Who was on the 76 boxing team?
Was that Leon Spinks?
Yeah, it was Spinks Brothers, he said.
Spinks. Oh, he did say that?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, on hold he did. I don't know
okay,
if he
said
yeah,
on there. Yeah. But... let's go to Michael, D.C. Michael, what's up? Olympic memories. I'm stunned at the number of people that have these various memories.
Oh, Olympic memories, and I'm an old guy, too. I'm 75 years old.
Oh, my God. And you do sound a little older, though.
Okay.
You
well,
need to whistle more.
I'm 75 and a grandfather. Grandfather for Bob Beamon jumping out of Mexico City. Still to this day, when I see it,
yeah.
I get chills.
Right.
The second one, the second one is Ali lighting the torch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And standing there watching him shake and lighting that torch.
That was definitely a moment.
Day thinking, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And every time I see a replay, I still get chills from that moment.
Yeah. No, for sure. Who's going to be like sort of the last guy to do it this year? Do we know? Did they already do that bit? Like the very, very last person, the lights, the official? I guess that happens tonight during the ceremony, right?
Yeah. I would assume, yeah.
Yeah. Probably be some French dog.
I saw Snoop Dogg.
I would assume it would be some
Snoop Dogg was actually carrying the torch and running with the torch.
Yeah.
Was he lighting a big blunt with it?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to light his bong. He's going to light his bong with the Olympic torch. Hey, that's butt funny.
That's butt funny. That's a great bit by Snoop Dogg. That's what he should do. Be very on brand.
He'd be the 4x484. I don't recognize any of the names, really. Maybe right. One. Sunder Nix, Ray Armstead. I think I recognize that. Alonzo Babers.
No. Nope.
Antonio McKay.
No.
Was he talking about the 4x4 or the 4x1?
He said 4x4.
He did say 4x4.
He said it multiple times. So he sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And he also said none of the names would jump out of
him. He also sounded like he saw the first Olympic in Athens.
That goes way back.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, I saw a Zeus fight.
Yeah, you know, we're crowbarring in the zings with our William and Harry shoehorn from yesterday. That's what we're doing.
I had to bring that home. That's the only way I get those shoes on. I definitely need the shoehorn. Yeah. A deer skin is tight.
Sure.
Once I shoehorn my foot in there, it's good.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
But I got to shoehorn it in. It's true. It's the only time I've ever needed one.
I haven't seen a shoehorn in about 30 years.
That's because you're not fancy, Cakes.
Well, people actually have them like in their closets. They have like shoehorns.
I guess.
Stick
I didn't
feet
own one
shoes.
Until he gave me the shoes.
I don't need to shoehorn
my foot into a Brooks. I mean, 98% of the time, I'm usually good.
I don't even tie my shoes, so if I have to, if I need a shoehorn, that's bad news.
So dumb.
William and Harry. So, I mean, what are the odds? I mean, he obviously named them after the royal family kids. I mean, he had to have, right?
I don't know what it's named after.
The reason he named them William and Harry is kind of a pun, but their only store, walk-in store, is in Williamsburg, where William and Mary is.
Okay.
So they couldn't name it William and Mary, you know, deerskin shoe store.
This is the weirdest origin story
so
ever.
So he called it William and Harry.
It's
kind of a pun to William and Mary.
Instead of William and Mary.
But nothing to do with Prince Willie and Prince Harry.
No, it wasn't named after them.
All the money.
It's Rhett Butler here. It has nothing to do with the Royals.
I would have bet all the money it was on.
That they were named after
the
princes.
Not that he was doing like a rhymes with William and Mary.
It's a pun on William and Mary, but we don't have the rights.
It's a pun on William and Mary. I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
We said this on Bit Season because we're talking about William and Harry.
Yeah.
That all you got to do is put two white names together and you have a golf company.
Travis Matthews,
yeah. William and Harry.
Yeah.
Peter Millar.
There's William Murray.
Right.
Holderness and Bourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Millar, like you said.
Yeah, but if we did like Eric Cakes, it would be Erting. It
Eric
would,
and Cakes.
You can't use Cakes.
Don't you take it seriously.
Eric and John. That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Doesn't work.
Jason, Eric.
No.
Jason and John.
You keep thinking of
it's just not
going
to work.
You put the money up. I'll put my name on it.
We'll see you on Monday. B. Mitch and Finley. coming up next here on The Fan. Right back. You can go vote on the Junkies poll of the day presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Go to @JunksRadio on Twitter. Were you rooting for or against the no-hitter thrown against the Nats at Nationals Park yesterday? That's your poll of the day. You can go vote right now.
I think once you get to like the eighth inning or ninth inning, it looks like it's inevitable you're going to lose. You want to be there for greatness. You're not rooting for it in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
It'll be right. Yeah, it'll be late. Interesting to see how Mackenzie Gore pitches tonight in St. Louis because his last four starts
haven't been great.
Not great. Now, he's missing the strike zone. We kind of talked to Riz about it on Wednesday. He's walking a lot of guys, and then, you know, his velocity's fine, but he's not hitting
the strike zone. He alleged his velocity's fine. I thought I had seen something where the velocity was down.
But maybe it's down a tick.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's down a tick just because, you know, we're almost August, but he has not pitched well. He was he was really good in May.
Mm-hmm. He was good when I went there in June when they played the Mets.
First half of June, good. Then he struggled. And then July's been awful. So let's see how he pitches tonight.
This portion of the Junks brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
All right. You want to bang out some more of these still?
Let's do.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Charles. He's been on hold for 15 minutes. Charles, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Junks. I'm an old guy. My favorite memory goes back to 1968 when Bob Beamon broke the long jump record by, I don't know, it was like a foot or something. But, you know, it came out a number of years after he did that he whistled just a few minutes before the event.
Is that true?
That is true.
Wow, that would kind of drain you,
really?
Wouldn't it?
That seems weird.
That
kind of
goes against the theory.
I'm going to guess that's not on his Wikipedia page.
You're supposed to hurt your legs when you do something like that.
No. That's all a myth. That's a myth.
So he was so pumped up that he had to knock one out before he did.
Exactly.
Where are you getting this intel?
I learned that years ago on the Dr. Gabe Merkin radio show.
Gabe Merkin.
You are old. I can confirm that.
I am an old. I've been listening to you guys since the very start when you played the music in the background.
We do appreciate that.
Well, Charles, how old are you? You got a young sounding voice, I'd say.
Well, I'm almost 68.
Wow.
Man, he does
sound
spry.
Have a young sounding voice?
Yeah, he sounds spry.
He's got vim and vigor, EB.
You still. Hey, you still
hey, guys, you know what that's from?
What?
Whistling.
It's keeping him young. Do you have a significant other, Charles?
Sure, of course.
A wife? Is that what it is?
I've got a wife and two kids.
And you and your wife still enjoy a little quality time together?
Oh, absolutely, of course.
So look at that, Lurch. 68, still getting her done.
I can't relate.
You got to do a little whistling too, guys.
Listen.
Sounds like you're doing more than a little.
We had a urologist in here about 15 years ago, and she said, use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Right.
Words to live by.
Right. Exactly. That's what I tell my wife all the time. I'm going to use it or I'm going to lose it.
Horny Charles call again.
Right. All right. Thank you, Charles.
All right. You guys take care. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Dude, doesn't he sound young?
He does.
Yeah, he sounds like he's 40.
He sounds very alert for 68.
That's because he's whistling all the time.
Right. He's probably seen every video ever made.
He's reached the bottom of the internet.
Yeah. Right. Like page 578.
Yep. Let's go to Rick. Man, his voice is really throwing me, man.
Yeah, I don't know who Gabe Merkin is. I mean,
I definitely used to listen to Gabe Merkin.
I've heard the name,
Merkin.
But I don't know anything about that person.
He had an office in Kensington.
He did? It's local? I have no idea.
Yes.
I don't know who this person is.
He was like an old guy. He would do like medical stuff. You'd have a medical question on the radio.
Okay.
Pretty sure he had an office in Kensington. Hey, what's up, buddy? Rick.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Rick, what's up?
Hey, as a swimmer, I always love watching the swimming. And my favorite memory was when Jason Lezak came from behind in that 4x100 in 2008.
No,
and
first of all, no one
remembers Alain Bernard from France in like the last 5 meters.
When he touched the wall like a microsecond before.
It's the most famous Phelps moment, pretty much. When Phelps is on the platform, cheering him on.
Yeah. I forgot his name was Lezak, but I remember that.
And he also won the butterfly by a hundredth of a second.
I remember. He just touched the wall like a.
Didn't that relay give Phelps the record for number of golds?
Pretty sure.
So that relay was for the record.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, exactly right. And they said he couldn't catch him, and he did. So that was.
I don't have any recall of that.
Watch the video. It'll jog my
memory.
Phelps is flexing when they win. It's a signature moment.
Okay, if you say so, I'm forced to believe you.
Let's go to Mark in D.C. I'm not going to shame you, Cakes, for not knowing. Mark, what's up?
Hey, fellas, I got 10 I could pull off my head, but just two of them. That 4x4 at the Coliseum in 84 was unbelievable. And another one.
Hold on, who was on the 4x4 team? Was Carl Lewis on that team?
Otto Boulder, no. The other guy he mentioned earlier. It was just, the names don't hit me, but the race itself, it was absolutely pretty and thrilling. Also, the 76 boxing team. My God. And you can't forget the Jamaican bobsled team.
Mark, who was on the 76 boxing team? Oh, shoot. He hung up. Who was on the 76 boxing team?
Was that
Spinks?
Yeah, it was Spinks Brothers, he said.
Spinks. Oh, he did say that?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, on hold he did. I don't know if he said it on there. Yeah. But.
Let's go to Michael. DC, Michael, what's up? Olympic memories. I'm stunned at the number of people that have these various memories.
Oh, Olympic memories, and I'm an old guy, too. I'm 75 years old.
Oh, my God. And you do sound a little older, though.
Okay.
You need to whistle
more. I am
75
and a grandfather. Grandfather for Bob Beamon jumping out of Mexico City. Still to this day, when I see it,
right.
I get chills.
Right.
The second one, the second one is Ali lighting the torch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And standing there watching him shake and lighting that torch.
That was definitely a moment.
Day thinking, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And every time I see a replay, I still get chills from that moment.
Yeah. No, for sure. Who's going to be like sort of the last guy to do it this year? Do we know? Did they already do that bit? Like the very, very last person, the lights, the official? I guess that happens tonight during the ceremony, right?
Yeah. I would assume, yeah.
Yeah. Probably be some French dog.
I saw Snoop Dogg.
I would assume it'd be some
Snoop Dogg was actually carrying the torch and running with the torch.
Yeah.
Was he lighting a big blunt with it?
Probably.
Yeah. He's going to light his bong with the Olympic torch. Hey, that's butt funny.
That's a great bit by Snoop Dogg. That's what he should do. Be very on brand.
He'd be the 4x400 and 84. I don't recognize any of the names really. Maybe right. One. Sunder Nix, Ray Armstead. I think I recognize that. Alonzo Babers.
No. Nope.
Antonio McKay.
No.
Was he talking about the 4x4 or the 4x1?
He said 4x4.
He did say 4x4.
He said it multiple times. So he sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And he also said none of the names would jump out of
him. He also sounded like he saw the first Olympic in Athens.
That goes way back.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, I saw a Zeus fight.
Hey, you know, we're crowbarring in the zings with our William and Harry shoehorn from yesterday. That's what we're doing.
I had to bring that home. That's the only way I get those shoes on. I definitely need the shoehorn. Yeah. A deer skin is tight.
Sure.
Once I shoehorn my foot in there, it's good.
It's comfortable.
But I got to shoehorn it in. It's true. It's the only time I've ever needed one.
I haven't seen a shoehorn in about 30 years.
That's because you're not fancy, Cakes.
Well, people actually have them like in their closets. They have like shoehorns.
I didn't own one until he gave me the shoes.
I don't need to shoehorn
my foot into a Brooks. I mean, 98% of the time, I'm usually good.
I don't even tie my shoes, so if I have to, if I need a shoehorn, that's bad news.
Oh, William and Harry.
So, I mean, what are the odds? I mean, he obviously named him after the royal family kids. I mean, he had to have, right?
I don't know it's named after.
The reason he named them William and Harry is kind of a pun, but their only store, walk-in store, is in Williamsburg, where William and Mary is.
Okay.
So they couldn't name it William and Mary, you know, deerskin shoe store.
This is the weirdest origin story
so
ever.
So he called it William and Harry.
It's
kind of a pun to William and Mary.
Instead of William and Mary.
But nothing to do with Prince Willie and Prince Harry.
No, it wasn't named after them.
All the money.
It's Rhett Butler here. It has nothing to do with the Royals.
I would have bet all the money it was on.
That they were named after the princes.
Not that he was doing like a rhymes with William and Mary.
It's a pun on William and Mary, but we don't have the rights.
It's a pun on William and Mary. I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
We said this on Bit Season because we're talking about William and Harry.
Yeah.
That all you got to do is put two white names together and you have a golf company.
Travis Matthews,
yeah. William and Harry.
Yeah.
There's Peter Millar.
There's William Murray.
Right.
Holderness and Bourne.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter Millar, like you said.
Yeah, but if we did like Eric Cakes, it would be Eric. It would
Eric Cakes.
EB Cakes. Don't you take it seriously.
Eric and John. That's not
good. It's not good enough. Doesn't work.
Jason, Eric.
No.
Jason and John.
You keep thinking of
it's just not gonna work.
You put the money up, I'll put my name on it.
We'll see you on Monday. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Push in the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.